Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Obscure. My name is Thea, and I'm a film director, music video maker, and editor from Georgia. Let's get started. In today's episode, I want to debunk a culture and modern myth. Often false beliefs from the past found its place in common folk as an archetypal image of past mistakes turning into lessons. Zombies are quite a good example of that. Historically, in the past, people were afraid of dead and had many superstitions in regards with that. One is related to emission of gases in a dead body. Corpse would bloat because of the gases, creating an illusion of breathing. And this was fortified by the period of many diseases that caused visual deterioration of human body. And because of that, humans created these characters called zombies and vampires. They saw them as the walking dead. However, as the time passed, we learned the lesson. Yet the archetype of vampires and zombies remained, and those are even used in different contexts now, in certain movies and books, or comic books, whatever you want to call it. The image remained, while the meaning has changed. The same way I believe it happens with the culture. For example, in Georgian folktales, we used to have characters like fools and lazy tricksters, which have been used as an icon of Georgian character by certain political movements, where in fact they were just the zombies of the past. None of the people wanted their children to be fools and tricksters, obviously. Those folktales served as lessons that anybody, any character can become better, become an accidental hero, so to speak, even a lazy trickster. However, today, lazy trickster is something to represent nature of Georgian people. In fact, Georgian folktales were very human. They believe that humans, as well as cultures, learn on their mistakes. Besides myths and tales, in my opinion, should also remind us not to take our present too seriously. The same way as zombies, our current beliefs may also become mistaken somewhere along the line and just turn into lessons. Herefore, I want to debunk a few of those. For me, culture has many levels and layers. There is a political, social, and artistic side to it. Ornaments, costumes, and lores represent the artistic side of the culture, as they don't have to change in order to make our culture adaptive to certain streams. On the other hand, politics and culture are also a separate organism that doesn't have to and is even not recommended to interfere with the artistic side of it. Politics set the rules and take orientations in the modern world, but they don't have to affect the uniqueness of local folklore and make it either Asian or European or even bridging between the two. Storytelling reflects the lessons learned by nation rather than reflect the political course of the country. Those two for me are separate. The social part of the culture, on the other hand, is yet another organism that affects culture of relationships within the country. Hospitality, mating rituals, friendship values, diplomacy, those are all part of social aspects of the culture, and those are the most adaptive ones. I don't believe that strict cultural norms that dictate to everyone how to live their lives and what kind of partners to choose for the relationship in any way characterize the nation. Would you suggest that those who want to have a family should live in one country and the neighboring country should act as a brothel full of prostitutes? Or should there be like third country where all the lesbians live? Of course not, right? That would be funny. And it would, of course, require a very open border policy between countries and possibility of choice for people to choose where to live, which we don't have. Relationships may have culture, but those should be based on deep knowledge of human nature and should help us in healthy cohabitation, a word so often used against its context. It shouldn't be used to command certain types of relationships. Yes, culture of relationship can dictate, for example, aggressive approach against polite approach. It can suggest relationships which are more egotistic or those based on long testing periods and courting stages. It can suggest visual and communal forms of ritual for mating. Those shouldn't be discriminating, but rather encouraging. Maybe in one country you just sign the paper, in another you wear a white dress and a black smoking, while somewhere in Austria wedding dress can be colorful and suggest certain forms of dance and division of the activities between ages, or something in that sense. Those rituals do not have to be lost or lose their individuality, but they could also be the matter of choice. In fact, I believe that we need to reassess the meaning of culture and the forms in which our expression of those values will be shown to the world. For example, the idea of costume. It could be really funny if we wore the same costumes as we used to wear ages ago. The lifestyle change affected our clothing habits as well. But costume as a phenomena also reflected the need of countries to compete in individuality and artisanship. Do our costumes still play the same role in representing our cultural individuality? No, costumes nowadays reflect rather common class differences and have nothing to do with the cultural individuality. Does it reflect the condition of the culture in the society and its values? Yes, it shows how important expressing our financial standing visually became. Is it different around the world? It's not. We are globally and interculturally capitalistic. Cultural costume, meanwhile, is something that is available for everybody. But costume can still be cultural. Let's say in Italy, which has its own fashion. It doesn't mean that every country has to focus on developing their own fashion. In the past, in Georgia, costume expressed individuality and practicality. What if we don't highlight the form, but rather take the value, individuality and practicality? Then, let's go deeper into what we mean by those words and find our own approach towards what wearing clothes means to us as Georgians. How does that sound? The meaning is the crucial word here, followed by values. What we value can be expressed in many ways and can still resonate with our root beliefs and character. However, forms are best when they are expressed naturally, preserving the individuality. You as a nation can still have the same values and belief systems, but everyone can express them differently. The most popular one will find its following anyway, and gradually the certain form and value will crystallize, creating a habit. Women have a word for it nowadays. It's called fashion. The idea in itself is quite vague, but it's only employed to express a certain idea and approach. Because after all, those kind of forms just come and go. And maybe it's even alright that today forms just mean that we don't rely on them to express the differences, but rather similarities. For me personally, culture used to serve as a point of competition that was more dominant in peaceful times, while during war times, main form of competition circles around power, arms, and forces. We humans became arrogant, egotistic teenagers who are trying to prove who's right and who's wrong instead of searching for solutions. Is the size of the territory the most valuable asset of modernity? Or is it the amount of assets which you can trade? But why is it that there are just few players in this game and all the others are just the pawns? I have the impression that after First and Second World War, we lost the idea of what culture and individuality means. We've been struggling to find new ways as the technological progress change our lifestyles and values. But in modern society, cultural individuality is just a zombie. It used to mean something, but it lost its value. It lost its colors. Yes, there are still some nations, mostly in East or in third world countries, where costume is still expressing the cultural individuality. but if you go deep down into their modern lifestyles, you can realize that teenagers no longer value the culture as it used to be in the past. So what culture is in our modern society? Or do we even need culture? The culture as a term is just an instrument to express individuality. Or maybe it has to serve the comfort of the people. Individuality of the culture in the past raised the employment rate, as it needed many different professions to collaborate to create the style of the country. But does it have to be forcefully preserved if it means that we have to sacrifice some comforts for it? Do we have to faithfully keep wearing a national costume when we don't have anything to eat? I feel like today values rise from philosophical ideas when they should be based on current needs of the society. Too many hypothetical ideas and no resonant actions are significant of our modern world. So let's ask this question to ourselves again. What does the culture mean? And how does it have to be expressed?
Thank you for your attention, and don't forget to follow, subscribe, and support.